You will see in your bulletins that we have a number of short but wonderful scripture passages. And so if you want to take a look at those, we're going to be reading the first five together. It's just about five sentences, starting with the one from Genesis and ending with the one from Matthew. And we start at the beginning from Genesis, where it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God's light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. God is light. In God, there is no darkness at all. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And Jesus said, you are the light of the world." May God bless our understanding and our living of these words of abundant life. I know that the getting up an hour early is a little challenging. As Laura said, congratulations, you all did it. It can be done. And I don't know about you, but I love daylight savings time. I love it. I love the longer days, and I love light. For one thing, I think about, you know, thinking of things that we take for granted. You know, without light, our universe would just be absolute blackness, right? Without it, the temperature of the universe would be at absolute zero, and there would be no life at all. Everything would just be a solid, frozen mass. But as it is, as we know, as it's described in the very first few words of the very first book of our scriptures, Genesis, which means the beginning, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, let there be light. And there was." Now, we live in a very sophisticated and scientific culture. And in this culture, these words are often heard as a nice story, sound a little fantastic, you know, maybe a little overblown, a little fanciful. But I think about that in relation to the Big Bang. And I think about the Big Bang that says that at one moment in time, before there was time, there was nothing. And then out of nothing, in one gazillionth of a fraction of a second later, the universe instantly materialized out of nothing, smashing every rule of physics that we know. So in other words, it's impossible. And yet, because it happened, there it is. There was nothing, and then out of nothing, in total blackness and from absolute zero, there was an instantaneous expansion at speeds multiples faster than the speed of light itself, an explosion. And with that, suddenly, space-time existed. In a fraction of a second, one second later, the entire universe goes from absolute zero temperature and no mass to 1 second later, it was light years across in size in 1 second. Nothing to light years in expanse. And it was the temperature from absolute zero to suddenly 10 with 32 zeros after it, degrees Kelvin. Space-time was created. And next, there was light. Science says this, quote, at this point, we're not entirely sure what space-time is. But there are reasonable yet insufficiently supported theories around it. And I accept that. I love that. I love that they're saying with a lot of language, you know what? It's a mystery. And they're saying we're trying to wrap our heads around it. Well, in our words of faith, in our faith language, we say that God is this force. And that we don't understand that fully either. And that this force has an intelligence, an intention, an order, and a purpose behind it. The kind of intelligence that creates all of this, out of nothing. With an order that is disclosed in the world that we know. With life and with ratios and with relationships and with matter that interacts with each other in a symbiotic system of interdependency, of this exquisite fabric and balance and rhythms and love. And we say that in this universe that God created, and I'm saying that these two views of science and faith, by the way, are completely complementary. They're not in opposition. They're just describing things in different language, different terms. Sometimes these terms overlap. Like Maxwell Planck, who is understood, he's known as the grandfather of quantum physics. He said, all matter originates and exists only by virtue of a force which brings the particle of an atom to vibration and holds this most minute solar system of the atom together. And we must assume that behind this force is the existence of a conscious, intelligent mind. The grandfather of quantum physics. Now, we use the word God for this intelligent mind of the universe. And this mind, this force, also created light. And the light that was created after and ever since the Big Bang, every bit of that light and every bit of any light that has ever existed is still here. Because light never dies. Ever. Light is eternal. Another thing that I find interesting is how light also separates darkness. Where once there is even one photon of light, a photon is the smallest packet of light possible, that light literally overcomes darkness. Both according to scripture and according to physics. As it says in John, God's light shines in the darkness. And the darkness has not overcome it. Light can put out darkness, but even an infinite amount of darkness can never put out light. Now, I think about that when it comes to our world. And our world that has some very scary and some very dark things going on in it, including things like war and genocide. And we ask, what's going to happen? Is darkness going to win? Or is light going to win? Now, for myself, I like to remember from time to time, both according to physics and according to our faith, that darkness can never put out light. Even if there's just one photon in the midst of complete darkness, it never again is complete darkness. And then I think, well, you know, and if you have two photons, well, that becomes even brighter, and so on. The more light you have, the more light you have forever. So think for a moment how intuitively we know certain things about qualities of light, and we reflect this knowledge in our language. We say things like, wow, that's pretty dark. Hey, lighten up. When a person's wise, we say that they're enlightened. We say that someone lights up our life, lights us on fire. And then there are some people who light up a room. When we want to understand something, we might say, please illuminate me. Enlighten me. Jesus, who was clearly enlightened, without ever knowing even the least bit of physics, because it hadn't even been invented for the next 1,500 years, we heard that God is light. Jesus said about himself, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And then he says, you are the light of the world. God's light and our light is love. Now there's physics and there's faith. And the question for us that science doesn't deal with is how do we shine our light? It's a little story, true story. Man named Alexander Papaderos. He is a person, he was born on the island of Crete, and he is a politician, and he is a doctor of philosophy. He's a professor, and he was teaching a class one time on Greek culture, and at the last course of the session, on the last day, he rose from his chair, and right when he was finished, everything's done, and he said, are there any questions? Well, the semester's done, the room's quiet, the students are ready to go home, and everybody's about to stand up and leave, and one person raises his hand, young guy in class, and he says, I have a question. And he says, yes, what is it? And he goes, Dr. Papaderos, what's the meaning of life? Everybody laughs. It's like, okay, well, it's time to leave. People start picking up their books. He raises his hand and he says, no, he says, I'm going to try to answer your question. He took his wallet out of his hip pocket and he pulled out a very small round mirror about the size of a quarter. And he told this little story. He said, when I was a child, it was during the time of the Second World War, and he was living in Greece, his family is very poor, and he said, you know, he was on the road one day in his little village, and he looked down and there were broken shards of a mirror, and the mirror came off of a German military motorcycle, of all things. And he said, I tried to find the pieces and put it all back together, but it was impossible. So he kept the largest piece, and he said that he scratched it on a stone and he kind of rounded out the corners, and it became his favorite toy, he said. Very poor. He became fascinated with it, that he could take it anywhere, and at just the right angle, he realized that he could reflect light in the darkest of places. Deep holes and crevices in dark closets. And he said it became a game to him to get the light in the most inaccessible places. And he kept that little mirror with him, and as he grew up, he would take it out from time to time and continue along the challenge of the game. But he says, when I became a man, I came to understand that what began as a child's game grew to become a metaphor for the meaning of life itself. I came to understand, he said, that I'm not the source of light, but light, truth, understanding, knowledge, love are from God. But sometimes, he said, that will only shine in the dark places of life if I reflect it there. You turn my darkness into light. God called you out of darkness into God's wonderful light. You are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. You are light for those who are in the dark. I am the light of the world, Jesus said. You are the light of the world. Interesting thing is, you know, notice he didn't say, you are like light. He said, you are the light of the world. So the question is, how are you using your light? Your love. Your ability to help, to illuminate the path for others, to provide warmth and comfort, to forgive those who have wronged you, to show kindness in a world that is filled with too much darkness. In our world that is so filled with darkness that it can be easy to feel overwhelmed by it all, like the darkness is winning. It can feel easy to be discouraged and afraid. So never forget that you are light. We literally together have the power to overcome darkness in the world. Remembering also that once light comes to life, it literally never dies. So whatever light you may ever shine, it's never wasted. Ever. We are God's light in the world. And then finally, there's a great reminder of this, which is so much fun. And it's so much fun because it's just one of these things that's wonderfully weird. And it's the fact that physiologically, we are light. This is a quote, all of the electromagnetic radiation that exists in the universe is made up of photons. The photon is the quantum smallest particle packet of light there is. And these together with the electrons make up atoms, which make up molecules, and the electromagnetic forces that hold us together are made up of photons. End quote. We are made up of photons. It's not the only thing that we're made up of, but it's a lot of it. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." From the National Institutes of Health, National Library of Medicine, of the National Center for Biotechnology Information, it was published on July 16th of 2009. Here's the fun wacky reminder part. It was published, quote, "We found that the human body directly and rhythmically emits light. The human body literally glimmers," it says. "Granted, the intensity of the light emitted by the human body is lower than the sensitivity of our naked eyes, so we only see a small part of the spectrum. But by using a highly sensitive imaging system, we succeeded," they wrote, "in imaging the spontaneous photon emission from human bodies." And that is the picture that you see in the bulletins. What a great reminder. This is a photo of what light looks like emanating from us, picked up by the CCD camera. I put it in there as a reminder that in the midst of the darkness, you are the light of the world. God is light, and that is God's fingerprint energy of light coming through each one of you. The eternal light, inaccessible to our naked eyes, but very noticeable through how we live. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God's light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. In God, there can be no darkness at all. "And whoever follows me," said Jesus, "will never walk in darkness. You are the light of the world." You are the light of the world. May your light, all of it, so shine. Amen.